Anybody could sit there and say that they anticipated that run there. That was one of those. I said to the offensive coaches on the phones, I said, they'll be watching that run for decades and decades. You know, that's one that everybody in the country is going to see by tomorrow afternoon. That was something that's rare. That was special.
It's pretty cool, you know, but that's not on my mind. I always talk about what's on my mind, and the Super Bowl is on my mind, so we're going to take it one game at a time. If the MVP come, it come, but that's not my goal.
Of the Baltimore Beatdown podcast. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm one of your hosts of this great podcast, joined by another host of this great podcast, Spencer Schultz. November 11th, Veterans Day, not a big deal. Yeah, so good Veterans Day. And also a victory Monday for the Ravens, who, let's just face it, they shit pumped the Bengals. What was the score ultimately? 49-10? Yeah, so big win.
49-13. Yes.
I want to say Randy Bullock is props there.
Yes, Randy Bullock was the MVP for the Bengals in this game alongside Joe Mixon against the, I guess, not so admirable. The Dolphins have actually been playing admirable, but the Bengals and the Dolphins, yeah, they had the little upset, even though it was against Brian Hoyer. But Ravens have put up 108 points against those two opponents, which is asinine. Absolutely unreal. Most prolific offense in the NFL. I don't see it really changing. They've been able to do it against good competition, bad competition. The only team that they, I guess they struggled against the Browns too. So they struggled a little bit against the Browns and the Steelers. And those were some games that were maybe some necessary struggles. And since then, they've been rolling, man. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it feels like they found their stride a little bit. Against the Browns, they definitely struggled. I mean, they had struggled at certain points, you know, even against the Cardinals and definitely against the Steelers and, of course, against the Browns, as we mentioned. But pretty much since that Browns loss, it feels like they've been firing on all cylinders. I guess after that Steelers game, it's been nothing but, you know, very good. So the last couple of weeks, you dispatch the Patriots. You go into Seattle and ride your offense to a win. And now it was a game where they go into Cincinnati and a lot of Ravens fans, like I said, were looking at the uniform. And they were afraid of a trap game. And, you know, I had a little bit of that. But it's not really about the laundry. It's about the players and the talent on the field. And they definitely have a lot of talent on offense this year. And it's working perfectly within this Greg Roman scheme. And that's to say nothing of the quarterback who's doing a great job. So it's very good. And they're 7-2 because of it.
Yes, sir. And effectively, the Ravens have gone from a team that gets a lot of, you know, skepticism and criticism going into the year too. I imagine they kind of were last week already the darlings of the NFL and of the media circle. So it's funny to see how that has done a complete 180 in 9 games, and everybody's going to be tooting their horn. They're going to be favorites. They're 4.5 favorites against Houston next week. It's just exciting to watch. And offensively, it's like, whatever their plan is, if they want to throw the deep ball, they came out throwing the deep ball against the Bengals. They didn't want to throw the deep ball against the Patriots, so they ran the ball and threw underneath. And they're able to adapt, improvise, and overcome difficulties that they've had. And it's just really difficult to stop them with a line that's pretty damn good and a quarterback that is simply making plays. I mean, it is freaking ridiculous, the highlights that came out of this game in specifically. And, you know, Football Outsider says, I've quoted it on here before, it's a better indicator of a truly great team, a championship caliber team, one that can dominate inferior opponents as opposed to winning close games against kind of more level competition, just showing that you are able to outclass the bad teams and you are not a bad team and you don't play like a bad team. So it's good to watch. You know, the Ravens have kind of always played up and down to their competition in the Harbaugh era and kind of overall throughout the franchise history. And it's not the case anymore. They dominate when they're supposed to dominate for the most part. And they've dominated pretty much all their opponents since the Pittsburgh game. So crazy stuff, all kinds of good statistics coming. And I just feel bad for Ryan Finley, man. I mean, he had a shitstorm coming straight at him in his first start. And he did have a week to prepare. I thought he looked okay at times, but defense was making plays. I mean, the Marcus Peters pick six was unbelievable. Zach Taylor was trying to run down the sideline. I guess he saw it coming. He tried to run down the sideline and call a timeout, but he didn't have any reps by him. And it was too late, my friend. So sorry. Marcus Peters took it to the house, leading the NFL in defensive touchdowns. The Ravens are leading the NFL in defensive touchdowns. They've had five, and they've all come in the last three games, which is crazy to say. So they've now outscored the Bengals with defensive touchdowns. They almost outscored the Seahawks with defensive touchdowns, as they had two and the Seahawks only mustered 16 points. And they're rolling on all cylinders. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a guy that was just absolutely left hung out to dry. And Finley, that offensive line looked really rough. Auden Tate made a couple of plays here and there, but, you know, no A.J. Green. Tyler Eifert, not the same as he used to be. It's a rough situation for any quarterback. And it was rough for Andy Dalton. It's rough for this guy. And the Bengals probably going to be drafting a quarterback very highly this coming year. Joe Burrow made a big-time statement for LSU this weekend over Alabama, so maybe he'll be in the mix. But there's going to be probably four first-round guys this year, and the Bengals are going to, you know, maybe even have their pick of the litter right now. I think they hold the first overall pick. So
yes, they do.
And this game made it look like they were a team that deserved one, just like the – deserved a first overall pick, just like the Bengals did in week one when the Ravens absolutely thrashed them. And that week one game against the Bengals was – probably Lamar's best performance of the year. I would maybe wager to say that this one was even better, because it's on the road in a tough environment in a spot where maybe some people expected them to get
it's a divisional game still.
Yeah, division game where people are maybe expecting them to get, you know, a tougher game. He just goes out there, throws three touchdowns, made it look easy, really. I mean, that first drive, they get the ball, a deep shot to Hollywood Brown, get down to the red zone, touchdown to Mark Andrews. And just kind of from there, the pace of play was dictated. I mean, there was another touchdown on the next drive that the Ravens got it after the Ravens defense forced a three and out on the Bengals. And he was just kind of having fun. And I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but that touchdown run, that might be his MVP moment 7 weeks from now, where he takes it a little option or whatever it was. He darts up the middle, and then with three defenders, Nick Vigil, chief among them, he hits that B button, spins around them, and just breaks their ankles, as Kevin Harlan said, and runs at 49 yards for a score. We were kind of waiting on that long touchdown run from Lamar, and
right,
came to us in style.
Right. That was, I mean, Harbaugh alluded to it. That was an all-time run. That was the Michael Vick splitting two defenders. What Lamar did to Jesse Bates on that play. So the option happened, and Lamar kind of started to move forward and took the ball. And Bates was flat-footed, which is dead. And Lamar got himself 5 feet of separation on Jesse Bates with two steps. He just had a hard Allen Iverson crossover step to the left and then came back to his right. Couldn't even come close to putting a paw on him. And then that spin move was just, he's just playing at a different speed. And I mean, the guy's not human. He's just different athletically, and the speed that he plays at, while it still looks like he is like, everyone else is moving slow to him. I feel like he is in. It's just like Neo in the Matrix. Like, he is the one. He can see everything around him in slow motion, while everyone else is doing their very best to play at full speed and get a hand on him, and they're straight up unable to. And it was it was disgusting. That was. Everyone's going to talk about it. That's one of the plays of the year so far. And say what you want about who it came against, whatever. I don't care. But he's just different, and the efficiency of his feet and footwork and how he was hitching and stepping into his throws, and really on display today was his arm angles, was like a side note, a side story, that him throwing around defenders and throwing with great accuracy several times. He had a play where Geno Atkins beat Bradley Bozeman and was in his face. And it was kind of like that Joey Bosa miss in LA last year, where Lamar just sidestepped him, kind of touched him with an arm, and then threw a sidearm zip to Nick Boyle for a big gain. And I don't think I've ever seen a more just perfect performance. Actually, Joe Flacco against the Bucs a couple of years ago was, it kind of reminded me of that. The Miami game was very good, but this was, I don't even want to use the word efficiency. There was beyond efficiency. It was, there was no resistance. It was like genocide of the Bengal Tigers. The Bengals are extinct now. So Lamar might be going to jail for endangering the Bengal Tiger and then making it extinct. It was insane to watch. I mean, Hollywood looked like, I know we were just saying, and I still feel like he's maybe not 100% all the way, but he was on another level. He hauled in that awesome, you know, contested pass where he's able to jump and shield himself for such a small guy in midair. And it was just, I mean, Tavon Young tweeted, he was like, there's so many playmakers making plays. I don't even know what's going on right now. It was like hard to keep up as just watching on TV. So I can't imagine, you know, being Nick Vigil, Jesse Bates, like what the hell is going on around me? And then the two defensive touchdowns as well. So the Ravens ended up scoring 49 points on 46 offensive plays. And I haven't seen anything, and I don't know exact. I'm pretty good at navigating the statistical deep web and all that good stuff. I don't know how to look that up. Scoring more points than you ran offensive plays. Like, what the hell does that even mean? Insane stuff today. So next we'll get the Texans on a bye, but today was another statement and another, you know, movement forward. And it's, you know, I feel like you and I were, you know, I feel like maybe me a little bit more optimistic on this team, and think kind of we were in like the 10-6, 9-7, 11-5 range. And I was leaning towards the 11-5, but this team could very easily end up 12-4, and they're secured into a first round bye right now. They've got a good bit of home games coming up. And I don't know who can stop them on offense. And they've been tested against Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. The defense stood on 10 toes and won. The defense was able to win against two of the, you know, premier quarterbacks and teams in the league on the road and at home and in prime time and all situations. And it's, I mean, just a slew of things going right at the right time. And all positivity. So the world's on fire, and Lamar Jackson is the one with the flamethrower right now.
Yeah, I was definitely on that that 9-7 train. I thought that the offense was going to be a little bit worse, but still very good. And I thought that the defense was going to be a little bit better than they had been in the first couple of weeks. Pretty much, I thought the defense was going to be what they have in the last few weeks, where they're not incredible or like really great, but they're very opportunistic. They take the ball away a lot and they've been scoring like crazy. So I kind of thought that's what it was going to be, and it's rounded into that. But the offense has been even better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh my God, who could have predicted this? This is insane.
No, nobody could. Yeah, I mean, and Lamar's been incredible. And you know, there's just certain things where I sort of got, you know, maybe a little bit guilty of the whole laundry thing, where I look at the uniform, the helmet, I'm like, you know what, this team is going to drop X game. Like, they're not going to go to right. Seattle and win.
Right.
They're not New England in prime time. And they did it. They proved me wrong. So, I mean, you're 7-2 right now, and you're looking good. Just kind of taking care of business against teams like this is will get you to that even bigger threshold, because, like, getting those big wins is important, but the fear of the trap game, I think, was a little bit real because it's a young team and they haven't gone through those sort of pitfalls and stuff. So I could have definitely seen them dropping this one, but it just the talent. I mean, we were talking about it in the preview show, the talent disparity between these two franchises, you know, and not even just that, but the front offices and everything. These two franchises are just fucking worlds apart. And I feel for Bengals fans because it feels like it's a long road to get to where the Ravens are for now, or now for them. But yeah, I mean, it just, on paper, there was no way this was ever going to be a close game. And I think I had it like 28-13. You had it a little bit more of a blowout, so I think we were both fairly confident they were going to walk out with a win today, and they definitely did that with a big time statement.
And it's just, you know, going through highlights and stuff and kind of watching how the game went, and defenses can do the right thing on a play. For instance, down at the goal line on the Ravens opening drive, the scoring drive, the touchdown play to Mark Andrews, it was a boot and it was going to be a rollout, and it got blown up on both sides, and Lamar just took two steps and sidearmed the ball to Mark Andrews around everything. And the footwork was great. The shoulders were square. The tight ends were not in the first half. Lamar was 9 for 9, 131 yards and 2 touchdowns targeting the tight ends. And the tight ends were already leading the NFL tight ends in receptions. I think they're second in yard or first in yards, second in touchdowns, something like that. They today were so dynamic, 12 receptions in the group of three, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. And that's, you know, where the strength of this offense is, the speed of Lamar Jackson, the good decision making, and then those tight ends being able to make plays. And it's crazy how Nick Boyle has broken out over the last couple of weeks. He's been like, I mean, a leading receiver in the NFL. If I haven't looked that one up exactly, but last week he had 5 catches. I think it was like not a lot of yards, 26 yards, something like that, and a touchdown today, 4 for 78. And he looked mobile. He almost scored on that opening drive. And, you know, it's clicking on all cylinders, and it's just poetry. It's great to watch. And the confidence that the team has now, and the momentum, and how they feel themselves. And like you were saying, you know, the uniform, you expect a little bit more of a drop off, and maybe we'll still see that a bit, you know, but I can't say that right now. They're riding high. And I think that teams are fearing them at this point after what they did to New England and Seattle, and then watching them put up 49 and 59 against bad teams, and all this stuff is, it's wild, man. It's like a video game. Truly, 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 this is Madden, and the Ravens are able to do insane things. The running backs were efficient. And the only kind of negative that came out of this game, I would say, is that Michael Pierce got banged up. X-rays were negative. Harbaugh said he was day to day. If, you know, he ends up having to miss some time, that could end up being tough against the 49ers and the Texans and whatnot. So that's, you know, the only negative thing to come out of today. But it was awesome. I mean, the different things that were going on, the Heisman package, what is this team, man? What is this team? 3 Heisman winners in the backfield running a speed option. Like, what?
Yeah, no, it's wild. I remember when they ran that play. It's just like, what is even going on right now? Like, Mark Ingram, 2009 Heisman, RG3, 2011, I think. Lamar Jackson, 2016. And it's a little option route. Their option play where a little speed option to RG3 and he picks up the first down. And it's just like, what is Greg Roman just like dunking on Cincinnati right now? Like, what is even going on? And it's just one of those games where it does feel like an MVP type of game for Lamar.
Absolutely. 4 touchdowns. I mean, he's got to be.
Well, it's the numbers for sure. Like, but like Russell Wilson's numbers are sick. And he's like the guy who everyone's like, you know what? Like everyone else is having a good season, but Russell Wilson's numbers are just so good. And like, that's sick. But like the Ravens are 7-2 right now. And Lamar Jackson has a play where he ran 49 yards, juked 3 guys out of their ankles pretty much and put them on the ground and ran for a touchdown. And that just feels like one of those moments where it's a highlight package that, you know, gets played when he gets given the award.
So yeah, that play has weight.
It's not like MVP is like, numbers are definitely a big part of it, but I feel like MVP is a big storyline thing, just like Coach of the Year is. And if the Ravens wind up being the story of the second half of the year, I think he has a very good shot of winning it.
And I mean, they have to be at this point, the way that they're able to beat these good teams and completely just fire on all cylinders is incredible. It leaves me at a little bit of a loss for words, to be frank, because I've never seen any offense like this, let alone a Baltimore Ravens offense. I mean, who the hell, as a Ravens fan, like, what is going on? What is going on? It's absolutely shocking. And highlights and plays and the world talking about them it's like uncomfortable almost. We're just not used to it. It's a little bit of a shell shock to it. And it's like, I don't know, just as a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, you're in a weird place right now and in a very good way, obviously, but it's difficult to conceptualize, for me at least, how successful this team has been at this point. I did not see this coming. And I don't think many people did. I mean, Rich Eisen predicted the Ravens to win the division, and he was like one of the lone big media pundits in the preseason to do so. And I mean, Steelers played well today. Their defense is maybe – I'm putting them in the top five. They're probably a top three defense right now. With
on, you know, paper, on paper, Minkah Fitzpatrick was worth that pick.
Oh, I mean, I was seeing that like going around on Twitter about Minkah Fitzpatrick. And at first I was like, you know, he's been in the right place at the right time. He's got a lot of tip balls and he had a fumble return. Same thing as Marlon Humphrey last week. You know, he's any cornerback in the NFL can make that play, but great players are in the right place at the right time. And when you're doing it consistently, and then the fact that, let's say that the Steelers didn't go and get Minkah Fitzpatrick and they lose one or two more games, they're Mike Tomlin's probably getting fired. You know, they're not in a good place the way he's been able to solidify things. So the Steelers are making a little run right now and they play week 17. That's probably going to have some implications of some sort, whether it's for the division or just for the Steelers to make the playoffs, or that's pretty far down the road. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it for sure, but exciting stuff going on. Browns were fun to watch, had an exciting game. Kareem Hunt came back and, you know, him and Chubb in the backfield, they had a couple plays where both of them were in the backfield and,
really good guys getting out there and getting some run. Guys that you want to root for.
Yeah, exactly. So some interesting stuff going around the AFC North a little bit this week. And it's exciting stuff to watch. But should we head to break real quick and come back on the other side?
Yeah, man. You know, it's been a long day for me. So
Jake is in Chicago right now for work. So he's had a very long day.
Yeah, we didn't really talk to him that. I've had a couple cocktails. So, you know. It is what it is. I'm surviving. I'm an hour behind Spencer, so I can't complain because he's staying up later than me. But
hey, man, when the Ravens win like this, I can't go to bed. I have to like rewatch the game and like talk smack on Twitter.
I'm very happy for you, but let's go to break here and keep this train rolling.
All right, we'll see you guys on the other side. And we're back. Thank you for staying with us, ladies and germs. I'm talking defensively.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The Ravens defense has just, as you said, opportunistic, and that's what everyone was hoping Earl Thomas would present, and he certainly has. Without Marcus Peters, though, the Ravens would have a weakness of sorts, and I mean, Jimmy Smith did come back, but it's still thin. You're still thin if one man goes down, if Brandon Carr goes down, if Jimmy Smith goes down, if Marlon goes down. Now they can afford to play, you know, a game or two without one of those guys, knock on wood. They're in a good place. Joe Mixon did have himself a day, about 135 scrimmage yards. But I think the Ravens were happy to concede those yards. They were up heavy. They were up early. And Mixon's a hell of a ball player, but he wasn't, you know, busting touchdowns. He was kept out of the end zone on the day. Ryan Finley was able to make a nice kind of like a fade throw, kind of like a back shoulder fade throw on a switch route to Tyler Eifert. And Finley was, I mean, we were touching on it. Finley's even more mobile than I thought he was. And I was kind of, you know, saying he's a little, that classic term, deceptively, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he was moving. He was able to pick up some first downs and keep it moving. So I'm interested to see how that transpires moving forward. Pat Ricard had a huge sack. Chuck Clark had a strip. Tyus Bowser ended up with a touchdown, and you know, those low key guys making plays. Jahad Ward's now had a sack in two consecutive games, and I think Peanut started out a little bit rough today, but kept himself together, and he seems to be, you know, still playing some great ball. And as I'm watching right now, Deion Sanders talk about how far and away Lamar Jackson is the MVP. The defense is, I mean, maybe the MVP of the actual team, though, right now, because five touchdowns in 3 weeks, doing it against two really good teams, then, of course, two today against the Bengals. But this defense is also fun to watch. This team is just high on excitement in every possible way.
Yeah, I mean, it defensively, like, it weirdly felt close for a while in the way that the offense was doing their job, but the defense was also giving up some long drives.
Right.
I think it was, so they scored, they got the ball after the half and they were driving and it felt like it was maybe going to be close there. It was like 21-7 or maybe 10 or something like that. And then, yeah, it kind of just felt like it was, you know, about to be really close. It was like, oh, here we go again. And then that's when the Peters pick six happened And that just blew the game wide open. And that was, it was like 28 to whatever the score was. And I was like, all right, this is pretty much over now. You know, goodbye Cincinnati. And Tyus Bowser scored another defensive touchdown. And that, you know, it, to your point about the defense kind of being MVP type, at least for the past couple of weeks, it's definitely spot on because they forced the Edelman fumble and Humphrey scored. And that pretty much, and you know, closed the door on the Patriots in that game. You had the Peters pick six against Seattle and then the Humphrey fumble return that closed that game out. So the defense scoring touchdowns is really what's shutting the door in these games. And the offense has been awesome for sure, but the defense doing their thing, I think, has been huge. And, you know, there's not a lot to hit on today, but they just really went out there and did their thing. So if they can keep doing that, then this team can go far.
Absolutely. And Matt Judon has been a catalyst for sure. His energy, and he's been stepping up. He had six tackles today, a couple quarterback hits. He was making some big plays, and his speed and range is just so crucial on the edge, and his ability to run things down and drop into coverage. And I feel like Judon's ready to keep rolling and move forward and start getting some sacks. Hopefully, I feel for the guy. He only has four on the year, but it feels like he should have a lot more with how many quarterback hits he's had. So hopefully the lucky end of the stick starts coming his way. Yeah, but Zach Sealer got some run. There are a couple other guys getting in there and making some plays. One interesting note of this game is that Cyrus Jones was inactive and D'Anthony Thomas came in. He didn't really get any great opportunities. He only returned one kick for 18 yards and one punt for 8 yards. So we didn't really get to see a huge sample size of what he's able to do. And is he a better option than Cyrus Jones? So I think perhaps the Ravens hold on to Cyrus Jones again for another week and try and give D'Anthony Thomas another trial run against the Texans and see which way they want to lean with that. Chris Moore was also inactive today. And Chris Moore just feels like lost in the mix at this point. And it's unfortunate. The guy's worked his tail off. He's been a good special teams player, but hasn't been able to exactly ever break ground or find his stride as a consistent weapon. So a couple guys falling back into the back of the scene there. But overall, A plus, 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 plus. The Ravens did have, it seemed like they were having a couple alignment problems with being a little lazy and not getting the defensive line scooted on motions. The Bengals were using a lot of jet motion and had a couple sweeps to Alex Erickson and their wide receivers. And, you know, Ravens conceded some modest gains and some decent gains, but nothing backbreaking at all. So it felt kind of like a, this one felt like a Dean Pees defense on steroids in a way, where things were limited and they were opportunistic. Dean Pees defenses did do very well as far as turnovers for years, interceptions, especially the last 2 years that Dean Pees was defensive coordinator, whereas last year there weren't a lot of ball hawk situations going on. But the Ravens, I believe, now ranked fifth in the NFL in interceptions, and they are a game back on two of the teams ahead of them. And have had an interception in every game since Marcus Peters came on over, and dating back before that to Pittsburgh, Josh Bynes had a pick, and Bynes actually has had an opportunity to get about four picks now, and he hasn't quite been able to corral them or make a great play on them, but he's broken up some passes. So continues to be that stabilizing force. Chris Wormley also got a sack in this one. So Ravens were making plays, man. And it's exciting stuff to watch. I mean, we don't have a terrible laundry list of stuff to talk about from this game other than that, but the highlights, we touched on all that stuff, and this game just is what it was. It was a blowout and a statement game again. Ravens are just, you know, pounding the exclamation point at the end of every sentence of a game and making a statement.
It is what it is, and it's not what it's not.
It is what it is. But yeah, and with that being said, I mean, this might end up being a terribly short episode, folks. There's not a ton to hit on at this point.
What time are we?
We are only at 30 minutes, my friend.
Oh, man.
So it,
like, I want it to be longer, but what else is there to say?
I mean, we touched on all the high notes. The Ravens offense is just unbelievable, and we haven't had a chance to go back and review film and do all that great stuff yet. We'll have more of that on our Wednesday episode and able to pump some more stuff out for you guys. But as now, I mean, Hollywood Brown made statements and the tight ends, it was just a schlacking through and through early on. And, you know, it's a little bit more expected at this point that the Ravens are going to beat up on those teams. And I mean, the one thing we can get into is moving forward, as the Ravens are now about to hit the toughest stretch, you know, of kind of playing some contenders in ways. They got the Texans, the Rams, who Rams haven't scored an offensive touchdown in 21 offensive possessions at this point. Steelers shut them down defensively. Jared Goff looked, frankly, bitch made again. One of those games where Jared Goff is unable to step up and do anything with pressure, or do anything with a hand in his face. Cooper Kupp screwed me in DraftKings. I spent $7,300 on that shit performance. He had zero catches and legitimately costed me about $180, because if he had his seasonal average, I would have been in a good place. Ravens then have the 49ers and the Bills. So four games, four teams with a winning record. They'll have the Texans, and that game is getting rumored to maybe be flexed into Sunday night. And I think that the league might want to do that. So that's a potential option. We'll get more into that later in the week. I could see that definitely happening. The matchup, I believe, is the Bears, and I can't recall the other team, but the Bears aren't exactly, you know, what is it?
Rams, I think.
Bears, Rams. So Jared Goff versus Mitch Trubisky. As the NFL loves their quarterbacks, it does not have any of the glamour or appeal of Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson, two, you know, freak athletes playing the quarterback position and doing it better than anybody else right now, for the most part. The Texans are coming off of a bye, which can present some trouble. They should be healthy and fresh and rested, but they will have to travel to Baltimore, and I'm expecting a packed stadium. People are going to want to come see Deshaun Watson, so I'm expecting a similar turnout to the Patriots game. Although that was prime time, the Patriots are much more notable for Ravens fans. And I was thinking, you know, the Rams game, which is a Monday night game in LA, that's a West Coast trip, and Goff does play a little better at home, tends to. So I was thinking that game was, you know, looking like maybe the toughest game on the Ravens schedule. But after what the Steelers just did to them, and then, you know, the Rams are really falling behind the eight ball. Then the 49ers coming into town, they lost Quan Alexander. And again, the 49ers defense, I think, is a lot better than the Patriots. But they're without Quan Alexander, a star middle linebacker that they signed in the offseason away from the Buccaneers. And they're not great against the run. They're much stronger against the pass. And that's kind of the same tune that we saw against the Patriots, where the Ravens are able to pick their spots and bully ball. That's something they didn't have to do today. The Ravens only ran the ball for, well, I'd say only ran the ball for 130 yards today, which was, you know, their second lowest total on the season. But it seemed like whatever they wanted to do, they could. And we've talked about the flubber aspect. Then the Bills went down to the Browns today. I don't think the Bills have the 30th ranked DVOA rush defense, and they did have a crazy 8-play stretch in the Browns game where the Browns were inside the 5-yard line, got two penalties and a fresh set of downs, and ended up turning the ball over on downs, were unable to punch the ball in, through the exact same route to Odell Beckham on kind of like a inside hesitation, then a corner route. One got a PI and the second one was batted away. So the Bills are tough, and it'll be a road game in Buffalo, which is a crazy environment for sure. But the Ravens have proved that they can go anywhere, play with anyone, do anything. Generally, I mean, looking around the NFL, for me, the teams that I feel like match up well against the Ravens are maybe the 49ers. I think that the Saints will match up well against the Ravens. They wouldn't play them until it was a Super Bowl. The Vikings and the Cowboys both fall into that category for me. I think could give the Ravens a run for their money as far as being able to stop the run, a little bit more on the Viking side of that aspect. But I think that the Ravens defense could play well with them. The Steelers are interesting, very interesting. And they probably gave the Ravens their biggest frustration offensively of the season. And the Steelers will have to come into Baltimore, but they have such an athletic front seven that is also disciplined. So a perfect blend, and they've been crazy disruptive, harassing quarterbacks and able to make some plays there. So that one will be down the road, and we shall see. But yeah, Ravens, I think, through this stretch can end up getting a first round bye. I think the Chiefs are another tough matchup just because of Mahomes, but they just dropped one to Tennessee. I mean, I would say Mahomes was rusty coming off of his injury, but he wasn't. He threw for 400 yards. He looked great. Made crazy, crazy, crazy throw to Mecole Hardman, who dusted three Titans in a bunch and hit 22 miles per hour, according to Next Gen Stats. So those are the teams that I think could give the Ravens some trouble. I don't think that the Patriots will be able to give the Ravens a lot of trouble. I mean, in New England, we talked about that kind of last week. I just think the Ravens can run the ball so damn well, and the Patriots have trouble stopping it. So to be determined. The Patriots are about to go through a tough stretch of their schedule as they are going to be vying to beat out the Ravens. And I mean, basically it's looking like a three-horse race or a two-horse race as of today for that one seed, that ultimate home field advantage. But if the road comes through Baltimore, hell man, they get a first round bye. They're a game away from the Super Bowl. And as of right now, I mean, maybe they're peaking early and something changes. There are injuries that happen. Things do change. We've seen that happen throughout this season already once, but feels like, you know, as long as this team has their core players healthy for the most part at cornerback and along the offensive line, and of course Lamar Jackson, that they're going to give anybody a tough test.
Is it just me? Were you talking for like an hour there?
Yeah, I was rambling.
We're talking for so fucking long.
Yeah. Giving you guys some content. Best I can ramble, guys.
I was about to fall asleep. Not Jake because of great analysis. He had some great takes. I was like, is he still talking?
Dude, you know I can talk with the best of them.
Yeah, sometimes I forget.
Yeah, right. But yeah, man, who's the one team you don't want the Ravens to play if in the Super Bowl or in the playoffs? Who's the one team you don't want to see?
To me, it's New England. No matter until they're knocked out, I just think they're going to win the Super Bowl every year. So to me, that would be it. And that's another laundry thing. Like, that's me looking at laundry. But
let's go beyond the Patriots, aside from the Patriots.
It's a good question. AFC, I feel like they could pretty much beat anyone. NFC.
I mean, they'll play the Niners in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's not that many great teams this year, really. I feel like who I think could give them some problems, I think, is the Saints. So they have a lot of talent on defense.
Right.
Sean could always, old smiling Sean could always cook something up on offense there to give you some problems. So I think with Breeze at full health, Kamara kind of doing his thing, I definitely would fear the Saints, you know, if it were to come to that in the Super Bowl, which I think that's getting way ahead of ourselves a little bit there. But
absolutely.
I think they could play with anyone in the AFC. I would still be very concerned about a potential rematch in New England because I just feel like those guys are always going to kind of, you know, bring it.
Absolutely. I feel you. Well-coached teams, and that seems to be a theme of this NFL season. I mean, with the Browns being poorly coached, they've plundered away some opportunities there. And some teams like the Cardinals have kind of looked like they're hitting ahead of their body weight, a little pound for pound ability. Some teams are able to kind of play up. And I think coaching is so underrated. And I think John Harbaugh is among the ones that are able to do it at the highest level right now. So overall, Ravens are just clicking, and we'll see. We'll see how things go. But I think that about does it for me.
Yeah, that definitely does it for me.
Yes, sir. So keeping it short today, guys. We'll be back and give some more detail and looking ahead to the Texans game, which is a really exciting matchup. Make sure to tip your bartenders and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I second all of that. Thanks for listening. It's definitely a different one. You know, I'm on the road, so I don't have my equipment. So Spencer's handling that side of things. And it's definitely been a different experience. But, we're just here to deliver content to you guys. And that's what we're going to do no matter how, no matter what.
No matter what, no matter how bad we suck, no matter how great we are, the weather changes, but we will be here.
We will.
We are a constant, baby. See ya.
All right, sick.